greater context of our preparation for the Lord. And in that preparation, knowing Him more fully to make Him more fully known. And part of that greater knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is understanding not only who He is and what He's doing right now, but also what Jesus will be doing in the future. Your future, my future, the future of His church, and the future of this world as well. And so we're looking at the rewards of the saints. And yes, it ties in with the crown that you were just saying about. We'll be taking a look at that shortly. But take a look, if you will, at the upper verse at the heading of your outline. This is by Paul to the Corinthian believers. It is the word of God to us today, too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 10, that was read earlier. Just verse 10 there. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. There's a lot of confusion sometimes that goes on when we talk about the judgments of God. And we talk about the judgment seat of Christ. And in contrast, if you will, or sometimes in many minds, in parallel to or almost synonymous with the great white throne, judgment there in Revelation. In fact, why don't you turn to Revelation chapter 20. Chapter 20. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 1233. So you'll beat those who brought their Bibles. I'm only joking. It's no race, but you are in a race. And there are rewards at the end of the race that you and I are in. Now you're there. So just look up here for a minute, if you will. We'll be getting to the passage. The reason I say that there's sometimes confusion, and sometimes that confusion is amplified or strengthened with erroneous teaching about prophecy. And so some have taught from this passage here and other passages that, well, one teaching, of course, is that Christians can lose their salvation. And that's why at the back of your outline sheet, we have a whole information from God's Word about believers' eternal security. We want to make that clear. We do believe that God's word is clear about believers. Those who are born again believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are eternally saved. You don't lose your salvation one day and then gain another day and then lose it again. And so if you have any question about that, maybe because you've been under the teaching of that particular theology that believes you can lose your salvation and then get it again and lose it again, you might want to take some time today, this afternoon, to look over those passages of eternal security. But we're looking at the rewards of the saints. And in your outline before you, the judgment seat of Christ really is three words, only one word in the Greek. And that word in the original autograph is the word bema. Bema is not in any way in the great white throne judgment that we see in Revelation 20 that you have your Bibles open to. And we'll see more clearly as we contrast the two. But especially as we look at what does the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema of Christ, mean for you and I today? It's important because it's part of God's word. It's important because it's part of God's provision and working in your life and my life for that coming day, for that coming event, really. And so we have, if you will, in your outline before you, the bema was a platform of prominence, where oftentimes we use it the Smithian or the Olympic Games, and when those who ran the race well, whatever event they had, and they ran it well in accordance with the guidance and the rules and regulations, they finished the race and they won. They would come to the bema, and we have some similar to that, if you will, in the Olympics today, and they come to that race prominence, and they would receive. Back then, they would receive a crown of wreaths, and that would be their reward. That would be their acknowledgement. That would be the acknowledgement and confirmation to all who were there for the games and watching them that this one is the winner. And so we have that bema, that platform. And it was a place of authority and honor, an honor that was given. Rewards. It's not the idea of judgment and condemnation. It was not an issue of justice, moral justice. at the Olympic Games, as we see your outline before you. But the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema of Christ, is not to be confused with the great white throne judgment. The bema seat, or the bema of Christ, is for Christians, those who are saved. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But if you have your Bibles open now to Revelation chapter 20, we want to see what the great white throne is, because it's a fearful and an awesome event. That those who are outside of Jesus Christ, who haven't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will be there. Every one of them. Even those who have died. They will be risen again and brought before the great white throne judgment. So Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Follow with me as I read. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead and who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There is judgment coming. There's no doubt about that. The judgment for your sins, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the judgment for your sins were there on the cross of Jesus Christ. And the truth that that payment was made in full for the penalty that was righteously against us and our breaking the law and the will of God, Christ took upon himself. You know the gospel. You've heard the gospel many times. And the proof that indeed it was completed, perfect, that sacrifice for you and for me. And all who have and who are yet to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that proof is in his resurrection and his ascension to the Father. To the right hand is our great high priest who makes intercession for his church, for his people. And so the bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ, as probably in your English translation, is not the same as a great white throne of judgment. Two different words. Two different words and two different events. Two different outcomes completely. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not of works, as anyone should boast. It is a gift of God. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not because of good works, but unto good works. And those good works will be examined. They are at the bema seat of Jesus Christ. For all of us. That's why Paul says, for we must all appear. Paul's talking about himself, talking about the apostles. All the disciples and followers of Jesus Christ then and now and yet to come. So we have that clear delineation and teaching from God's Word. But let's take a look. Where's the place? The place of the bema seat of Christ. Well, it's in the heavenlies, right after the rapture. We looked at the rapture last week there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We understand a little bit more, sort of all that we understand about the rapture is really from God's Word. The church will be raptured. I believe the Word of God teaches before the great tribulation period. The church will not go through that tribulation period where the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth and upon humanity. The church is redeemed, taken to be with the Lord. Some of the events that follow are rapture. And we will always be together with the Lord. The thing that follows would be the bema seat, the bema judgment of Christ, there in the heavenlies. Take a look, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You have that in your outline. Then we who are alive, we're talking about that rapture experience and event. And we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Not here on earth then, but there in the heavenlies. And that's where the bema seat, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, will occur. It probably occurs in between the rapture and the marriage feast of the Lamb, there in Revelation chapter 19. That's when the bride of Christ, which is the church right now, will sit at the Lord's table in the heavenlies, as referred to as a marriage feast of the Lamb. That's when the bride is taken home to be with the groom. Wonderful imagery there, because it's an imagery, if you will, it's an image of a relationship, a loving relationship, a gracious relationship, an intimate relationship that the church has with the Lord Jesus Christ. And none in the body of Christ will ever be cast aside. They're part of that loving, gracious, intimate fellowship and relationship with Christ. So the bema seat, or the bema of Christ, will be after the rapture, and most likely before the marriage feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb that we have there. It will be in the heavens. Some people say, you know, heaven's going to be so boring. Oh, really? I don't know what book you're reading, but I like to read the Bible when I'm thinking about heaven. And I hope you do too. You know, first of all, it'll be a place of recognition. We'll see Jesus Christ face to face in all of his majesty and all of his honor and all of his glory. It's going to be a place of recognition. And we'll be recognizing, brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll be recognizing Moses and Elijah like the disciples there on the Mount Transfiguration. When in that time of transfiguration, the Lord allowed and he permitted and he directed Moses and Elijah, and they recognized them. It will be a place of recognition. You have any questions for some of the Old Testament saints? I sure do. I'm sure you do too. Will they matter? You know, they probably will. Because we'll be discussing the glory and the grace of God and how God used men and women just like you and I. Praise God. We'll be recognizing those who are saved through the ministry of the gospel, through the missionaries that we support. And we'll be recognizing them. And we'll be rejoicing with them. It's a place of reunion. We'll be reunited with saved loved ones, saved friends. A place of reunion. And we'll be experiencing that joy unspeakable and full of glory that Peter talks about. It's a place of rejoicing. Rejoicing in the presence of God and the absence of sin. Think of that. You and I cannot say that we live in a world with absence of sin. But there in the heavenlies, there in heaven, with Jesus Christ, in that reunion, we'll be rejoicing in the presence of God and the absence of all sin. Not going to be a boring place. It's going to be an exciting place. A place of adventure. A place of growing and knowing. It's going to be a place of rewards as well. And that's what we're talking about today. It's a place of rewards. Who's going to be there? Well, in your outline, you have before you the people at the bema seat of Christ, all born again believers in Jesus Christ. And they will be there. And those who have died and have departed, left the body and entered into heaven with their spirits, and then at the rapture, and they receive the resurrected bodies just like you and I, and stand before the bema of Christ. Take a look at Romans chapter 14 you have right there. Why do you pass judgment on your brothers? Paul is talking to born-again believers, referring to them in a filial way, if you will, in a family way, brothers. Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. The word bema is there also. And he's referring to God. He's not making a decision, well, there's going to be a bema of God the Father and a bema of Jesus Christ. No. Jesus Christ is God. God is Jesus Christ. And God the Father has given to Jesus Christ that right, that authority of all judgment. We see that in John chapter 5. So we have the bema of God, or Jesus Christ, where it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give what? An account of himself to God. I wouldn't have to give an account for you. You wouldn't have to give an account. Aren't you glad? Yeah. But I will have to give an account for myself, and you will too. Every one of us. Give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on another any longer, but rather decide what never to put a stumbling block or hinder in the way of a brother. Because they're running the race. They're fighting the battle just like you and I. So why hinder them? Why cause them to stumble? The two applications here that Paul is in the light of the bema seat of Christ, and the accountability you and I have. One is negative. One is negative that we should not, and it's against all judgment. We're not to judge one another's motives. We're not to judge one another's ministry or service. We should praise the Lord for it, give Him the glory. We should encourage that all the more. Serve one another on to good works in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the negative is against judging one another, our motives and our service. But the positive thing is, knowing that the baby seat of Christ is there for all of us, and all of us will have to give it account, we need to encourage one another. We need to stir one another unto greater service for the Lord Jesus Christ, unto greater ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the same time, also, greater opportunities that the Lord gives us to seize those opportunities and encourage one another to seize those opportunities for the gospel so that others will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So Paul has a very present-day application of that coming event, the baby seat of Jesus Christ, for all of us. The negative application, stop judging one another. The positive application, let's stir one another up to greater works for Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Oh, that was a weak amen. Amen? Amen, amen. Yes. Okay. But what's the purpose of the baby seat? We're talking about it for a little while. You probably read about it. It's the evaluation of their life and works in Christ Jesus. Again, it's only believers in Christ. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Probably a very familiar passage with you, for you. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. Paul's talking about the foundation of the gospel. Wherever he went, wherever he proclaimed, wherever he preached, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women and boys and girls were getting saved through faith in Christ alone. And so he was laying that foundation of Christ in their life. He is that foundation. He is that rock. There's some echoes that Paul is using, if you will, of what Christ wrote in the Sermon on the Mount about the foundation and those who don't have a foundation in their lives. When the storms of life and tribulations of life come, their lives fall apart. But those with the foundation of Christ in their life, they're strengthened, they're held, they're stabilized by Christ Himself. Paul says, I lay the foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care of how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, he's talking metaphorically. He's talking about things that are durable, things that will last, things that will be recognized by the Lord as those things in your life and my life that we've done now. And the wood, hay, and stubble, those things that are just temporal. And take a look as he continues that illustration. Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive what? A reward. Circle that word, a reward. There are rewards given in heaven. Christ talks about that many times in the gospel record. Paul, Peter, John. Rewards. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Circle that. Though he himself will be saved. The baby seat is not a judgment of condemnation. And a judgment time where people are expelled from the presence of God, ripped from the church, the body of Christ, and cast into the lake of fire. That's not time of judgment for condemnation. But it is a time of evaluation. And that's what he's talking about. The works, the service, the life, the words, all that we do for Christ, in Christ, with Christ. And it can be anything that God has led you to do, whatever calling you have in life. And our roles and our responsibilities also are in Christ, for Christ, and through Christ. As a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a parent, as a brother, as a sister, in our roles of relationships, as a member of the body of Christ. It's not just doing those holy things, because everything for the child of God is to be a holy thing. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, or eat or drink, do to the glory of God. And so what he's talking about here is those things done with the right motive. Done with the right motive, not for self-centeredness. not for the applause of others, but for the praise of God. Whatever that may be, as we mentioned last week, Martin Luther hit the nail right on the head. If God has called you to be a shoemaker, you be the best shoemaker for Jesus Christ. If God has called you to be a truck driver, you be the best truck driver for Jesus Christ. If God has called you to clean houses, you be the best house cleaner for the glory of Jesus Christ. You see, it's those works, it's that service, it's those words that are rewarded by Christ in the name of seed. And we all have wood, hay, and stubble too. And those refining fires will burn all that away. But what is left, done with the right motivation, done with the right motives, not the motives, if you will, of the world, and the right methods from God. Those works will endure to God's glory. The purpose is to evaluate how you and I have lived, not for condemnation, but for commendation before the bema seat of Jesus Christ. And he will give rewards. The Bible makes reference to those rewards in the form of crowns. You probably have heard that before. There are a number of crowns that are mentioned in the Word of God. I don't believe that's an exhaustive list of the rewards. I believe part of those rewards are also being given greater responsibilities in the kingdom of God. As we are faithful in the small things that we're doing right now, and they endure to the glory of God, and there at the bema seat, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Because you have been faithful in these little things, I will give you greater things as a reward. There are rewards in heaven. And it's not wrong. Beloved, I don't care what you've heard on TV or the radio, or maybe you've even thought in your heart. It's not wrong for believers to go for the gold. To do the best you can for Jesus Christ. Maybe it's cleaning out the lavatories here. Do the best you can for the Lord. That's gold. That's not wood, hay, and stubble. That's gold. Maybe it's cleaning up around the church. Or maybe it's doing that for your next door neighbor. Or maybe it's doing something for someone else. That's gold. If you do it with the right motive. And the right method to bring glory to God. How we love one another for God's glory. That's gold. That's gold. Many areas of service, ministry, and conduct will bring rewards at the evaluation of the bema seat of Jesus Christ. Let me just enumerate a couple of the crowns. I know you don't have it there, but I just want to just to remind you that they are in Scripture. The crowns that are enumerated in the Word of God as part of those rewards for those who are found faithful. The incorruptible crown for those who practice self-discipline and self-control. The crown of righteousness, those who are eager for the Lord's coming and live a righteous life. The crown of life, for those who faithfully endure trials and sufferings in life. The crown of rejoicing, the soul that is crowned, for the men and women, the boys and girls of Christ who are sharing the gospel with others. Because they so much want to see others have that joy of salvation. The crown of glory, those who serve, but do it graciously, lovingly, faithfully, serving God's people. That's the purpose of the bema seat of Jesus Christ. Not condemnation, but commendation And yet he does say here, there will be those who suffer loss. There is that sense that there will be men and women and boys and girls up there, there at the famous seat of Jesus Christ, that will not receive all we could have received. There will be a sense of loss. I don't believe that we'll go through eternity regretting that. I don't believe we'll go through eternity with the wouldas, couldas, shouldas, like we do so much today. Because you know what? You know what we do with these crowns? There in Revelation, it tells us very clearly. Those crowns and rewards of commendation from the Lord for faithful service and conduct and character in Christ, with the right motives, the right methods, we cast those crowns at our Savior's feet. And we say, Lord, you alone are worthy of all honor and praise, because it's for you and you alone and for you alone that I was able to do those things. Amen. Preparation. You know, for every test in school, you had a good teacher. Now, I'm sure you all have good teachers. I know some of you say, well, there's some questionable ones. But you know, Jesus Christ, he's the perfect teacher. He's the perfect physician. For every test, there's a preparation. For every examination by the doctor, there's a preparation. And I need to tell you, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a preparation that you and I must do and can do as we face the coming baby seat of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wants us to be prepared. Not just prepared, but participating in the work of Christ for his glory. Whatever that work may be, whatever he's called you to do, whatever opportunity he's given, to be faithful and to be fruitful of his glory. Let's take a look, if you will, at a couple of verses with regard to the preparation for the coming famous seat of Christ. Take a look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And his master said to him, well done, good and what? Faithful. We need to practice faithfulness, amen? We need to be found faithful. Faithful servant. Faithful servant. The word there is doulos. I know we don't like to hear it because of we're not slaves. We got rid of slavery. Now, 200 years ago, we got rid of slavery. Well, wait a second. The word doulos is there. And it's a slave that is born in, or one has purchased. Yes, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ, and so are you. And he is our master. And we need to understand there's a difference. Yes, he's our friend, praise God. Yes, he's our Savior, he's our shepherd. But he's also our Lord and Master. Amen? And that Lord and Master, your Lord and Master, mine, Jesus Christ, I pray that he will say that one day, well done, good and faithful servant, slave. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. You and I can prepare. One of the reasons Jesus Christ is giving that instruction, that encouragement, is that you and I would work on the issue of being faithful. Faithful in service. Faithful in walk with Jesus every day. Faithful in worship. Faithful in giving, faithful in serving, faithful in every area of our life because of who he is. Seeking our Lord's approval and seeking to please him in all that we do. Knowing that it really matters to Jesus what you and I are doing. Next, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Right at the conclusion of a great chapter about the resurrection of believers in Christ. When that which is mortal will put on immortality, that which is perishable will put on that which is imperishable, the new bodies. Amen? Boy, I'm ready, aren't you? I really am. Even so, come Lord Jesus, okay? But right at the conclusion of that, when he's looking ahead, he's saying, well, how do you live right now? With that in view, with that reality yet to come. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our preparation for the coming baby seat of Jesus Christ is not only working on that issue of faithfulness and service, but also pressing on with perseverance. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that what you are doing right now, in and with and for Jesus Christ, impacts eternity. It really does. If it's done right. If it's done right. Again, another verse that addresses our preparation. Paul says, I fought the good fight. Hey, the fight isn't over yet. I know Christ has gotten the victory through his death and resurrection, his ascension to the Father, but you and I in Christ, with Christ, for Christ, are still in the battle. Still in the battle with sin. Still in the battle with, if you will, the world trying to push us into its mold when Jesus Christ is saying, I want you to be, and you're going to be, and I know you're going to be just like me. The battle is still going on. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. The race is not finished. You're still running. Run well. Run faithfully. I have kept the faith. Keep on. Keep on pressing on in the battle. Like Paul says there in Philippians. You needn't turn there, but let me just read from Philippians. A great encouragement for all of us. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, not that I have reached perfection. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the reward, the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul is saying? It's worth it all. The sacrifice, the service, the time, the labor, the suffering, the trials, it's worth it all. Press on. Press on. Maybe God has been speaking to you and you've not been pressing on in the past. And you know that one day your run, your fight, the labors of your faith will be evaluated. Then start pressing on today. Start pressing on today. Don't give up. Don't say, well, Bill, I've lived a lazy Christian life all my life. Well, don't stop. Stop right now and press on for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because your life will be evaluated. Our lives will be evaluated. Yours and mine. Let's take another look at another verse. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Preparation for the coming baby seat of Jesus Christ. Be thankful that God has given us, each of us, opportunities to serve faithfully. That has given us opportunities to share and speak the gospel. Giving us opportunities to show the love of Christ, not just to one another, but to others. On the back of your page, believers' eternal security. I won't take the time this morning, but I wish you would. If you have any doubt about your eternal security in Jesus Christ, and if I'm hearing about the great white throne of judgment and condemnation, I think it's imperative that we make sure that we really are in Christ. And if you are, you always will be in him. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you go. But have you attached your life to him today? With the hand of faith and the knowledge of God's word, have you at one time in your life reached out and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Make me yours. Make me your servant, your slave. Be the Lord and master of my life. Give me your power, your life, to live and serve you in faithfulness for your glory. If you've done that, then know that you are secure. But all of us will stand before Jesus Christ at the baby seat. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your goodness and grace to us. Father, we know because of your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that he is and all that he's done and ever will do, you shower your grace upon your people. You shower your grace upon this world, that men and women and boys and girls who are yet to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, will receive him and believe in him and commit their lives to Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everyone who is here, Lord, guide us in our steps. Those of us who know you, Lord Jesus, strengthen our steps, our walk with you, we pray. Establish us deeply in your faith, the faith that you have given to us, in your word, and Lord, work that work of grace in and through our lives, for your glory, for your pleasure. Lord, we also pray for those who may be here this morning, who've never reached out to you with that hand of faith, that commitment of life, to receive you as Lord and Savior in their lives, to confess their sins, to be forgiven, and to have the newness of life. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will not let them go until they reach out to you and receive you into their hearts and lives as Lord and Savior. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.